The McEncee officer who appeared on the screen introduced herself as Colonel Watkins. Pitt saluted, assumed parade rest, and gave a succinct report of events since her last official report, without mentioning that Kai was alive.
You were on the orbital station, then?
No, ma'am. With respect, ma'am, is this a secure connection entirely with the Vata-type Ansibles?
Yes. Why?
Ma'am, what I need to say is extremely sensitive and should be shared only with Section 4.
Would you prefer to speak to the senior Section 4 officer aboard?
That might be best, ma'am. There are strategic implications.
I see. Can you hold the connection at your end?
Yes, ma'am.
A pause, a flicker at the edge of the screen that cleared, and another officer appeared. Kai, watching from out of range of the video pickup, saw a flick of hand signal, which Pitt acknowledged with a twitch of her own.
Master Sergeant Pitt, I'm Colonel Parates. I understand you have sensitive data for us?
Yes, ma'am.
But you're not alone.
Kai wondered if the finger flick had conveyed that.
No, ma'am. But the officer here already knows it and has reason to mistrust me.
Ah. Go on, then. I was monitoring your transmission before. I'm caught up.
Yes, ma'am. I was in Vanguard when it blew, but in the CCC, which survived, though not without casualty, the most critical information to protect is that Admiral Vata also survived. We know from local transmissions and remote reports that the enemy believe her dead since her ship was destroyed.
I see. And you are now where?
Moray system, ma'am. And in the past days, after Major Douglas was killed, I've been operating on my own. But I could do with some orders, frankly.
I'm sure, Master Sergeant. The problem is, we don't have anyone to send out your way right now. I can have some orders cut, but as for sending an officer... And what was that about an officer there having reason to mistrust you?
If the Colonel will refer to my report history under the codename Foxbat Victor, the Colonel will find that I have a contact on Slaughter Key.
I see that, yes.
Well, ma'am, the officer did not know I had a contact on Slaughter Key and considered it a breach of security. As it happens, the officer was acquainted with my contact and was concerned about his loyalty as well.
I can think of only one officer that might be. The subject, perhaps?
Yes, ma'am. Who is also here with me, observing this transmission.
I see. Actually, I don't see, as it were, but I do understand. Let me assure this officer that as McEncee is now contracted to both Nexus and Cascadia to augment their defense forces, any prior surveillance on this officer will certainly not be used in her detriment. And I am confident that should I confirm Master Sergeant Pitt in her present role as temporary liaison between the commander in your present location and McEncee, the Master Sergeant will obey all your orders and conform to your needs. It might be easier if I could talk to this officer directly, though I understand that this might present an unacceptable security risk.
Kai waved Pitt away and moved into pickup range. I'll talk to your people. Colonel Parates, I see that you recognize me.
Yes.
Kai explained the circumstances that had led to Turek thinking she had died with her ship.
So you think that if Turek thinks you're dead, it will give your fleet a sufficient advantage?
An advantage, certainly. Sufficient? We can't know that. He won't expect us to respond as quickly, and perhaps he will not expect the same level of tactical control. Not that there aren't other competent officers, but I'm the one he seemed to worry about.
With reason. But won't he be suspicious of a continued communications blackout from Moray?
No. He'll think it's my death that's being concealed. And it is, in a way. We know that Turek had agents here, and at least one of his pirated ansibles. But those can communicate only with others like them. So, if word of my death gets out, it's almost certainly through a network of his agents, and it might be possible to backtrack and locate them by those leaks.
Ah, very ingenious and quite possibly workable. I doubt you'll smoke them all out, but you should get quite a few. Do you have your strategy for attacking Turek planned yet?
No. It depends on where his supply base is and how long we'll need to be there. Moray tells us that the ships he made off with will need at least another 6 to 7 days in dock with competent workers to do the final weapons fitting, the stocking up, and so on. Longer without a skilled crew and the facilities they have here. If he wants to calibrate the weapons and fine-tune the navigation computers to maximize his control in combat, he'll need still another 7 to 10 days. Moray has given us the ships he didn't take, and they're now very close to fully operational.
Miracle, that was, considering the number of expert riggers who died, but the Moray government had gone all out.
If he thinks you're dead, and if he thinks that will make a real delay, he could move either faster or slower. And have you considered the effect word of your death may have on your other allies?
It should stiffen their spines. If it doesn't, well, they wouldn't stick it out if they knew I was alive.
I think you underestimate your effect, Admiral Vada. But I won't argue.
The Moray senior scan tech handed over a data cube.
You're not going to believe this. We have all the details of Ransom's departure untangled from the rest of the scan data that day. The ship identified as Glorious accelerated toward the enemy as the enemy fled and appears to have gone into jump space at the same relative distance from the scan station, as if they thought they could pursue through FTL space. The other Ranger ship was behind by some minutes, but went into jump within 10,000 clicks of that location.
Idiots! And no transmissions at all?
Not to the fleet and not to Moray. They just took off. You think they were actually associated with the enemy all along?
Moray's suspicions were still active, Kai realized. She glanced at Pitt.
No.
I agree with the Admiral. These young men were impulsive and extravagant, but they weren't traitors.
Yeah, what did they think they were doing? Nobody can follow an FTL flight. They wouldn't have the coordinates or anything.
And a blind jump can dump you out anywhere. But could they have had the coordinates? Could they have been monitoring the enemy transmissions? We have a record of those, don't we?
Yes, and the translations, but he couldn't have had the translations that fast.
Do the translations give any numerical data?
Yes. Well, I suppose those could be vector and duration, if you knew which was which.
So he could have swung over to get on the same course, which gives him vector and duration, and he might come out at the same place.
Might, unless it was multiple jumps.
But he might have thought he had enough data.
Then he's crazy.
Right now, he's gone. And since we don't know where or when, if ever, he'll be back with us, we might as well go on to the next item.
The next item, crewing the Moray-built ships, took much longer.
You'll have to take one of them as your flagship, and none of us knows diddly about them. You should use Moray crew for Moray ships.
Moray's own space navy doesn't use this model. You could learn. Shara's gift shouldn't go into another combat. You've seen the stress charts.
We could be second tier.
You could also be dead. We need to replace the ships with the worst stress levels, and you know it. You're not the only one who's being shifted.
Shara's gift has been my ship since I got into this business. She's like my other arm.
I understand, but this is war, not privateering. If you're to be with me, you're going to have to move to a ship that's capable of sustained combat.
Can I at least name it Shara's gift, too?
I don't see why not. None of them have names yet. All their ship chips are just numbers at this point.
What about Dan? Are you going to make him change ships, too?
Bassoon isn't showing the same damage. We have worse in the fleet. Tangeld, for instance, and Sapphire Radiance. Captain Peters and Captain Tardin will both take over cruisers.
Well, what'll happen to my... to the original Shara's gift?
You owned her outright, didn't you?
Yes.
Then you could sell her, or let Moray do the refit, either to military grade or back to a merchanter. For that matter, if Moray pulled her armament, she could run as a merchanter now.
I won't have time to do that. To run her, I mean. I suppose I could sell, but I don't know. I feel I'm losing my connection.
You're not happy with all this, are you?
Who would be? I don't mean you. You've been a good commander.
Look, do you want to quit and go back to being a merchanter? A letter of marque doesn't force you to be a privateer. It's permission. If Shara's gift were unarmed, you've earned a rest.
It's a commission. I said I'd take on Slaughter Key's enemies.
Yes, but not in the same way it was when there were kings and things. Legally, I think you'd have no problem, if that's what you want. I'd back you.
I don't want to get blown away by Turek's bunch. And I would, unarmed and alone, I guess. I never really thought of myself as a Space Force captain. Being a privateer, I could be mostly a traitor and only sometimes have to worry. And now I've been in, what is it, only 3 battles? 4, counting that mess at Gretna, if that qualified as a battle. I guess it did. Should, with some of my people dead. I don't know. It's just, I think I'm not good enough.
You're good enough. But you need some of the same treatment I got. I should have thought of that.
No, if you think I can command a Mori-built warship, then I guess I can command a Mori-built warship. But I'm going to miss old Shara's gift.
You'll get her back someday. Kai wondered if it was an empty promise.
It won't be the same, but it'll be nice to have this over with. So, where's the book for my new ship? I know the first rule. RTFM hasn't changed since before the dispersion.
One by one, Kai found captains for her ships. Some transferred from aging privateer vessels, and some from Moray's own space service. Since Moray didn't use heavy cruisers in its home defense fleet, none of the captains had prior experience with that model. But the Moray officers were familiar with much of the software. Kai set up classes. Crews for the new ships would come mostly from Moray. She did not have the people in her other ships to fill out the necessary positions, nor would she have even if Vanguard had not been lost. On the 7th day in FTL flight, Teddy Ransom experienced the kind of internal change known in his culture as brain bend. Some people planned their progress through their various intelligences, so many months in each. Others waited on whatever biochemical signals switched off one and turned on another. And something turned the switch. It felt mentally just like falling out of bed felt physically. That moment of blissful weightlessness, followed by a hard thump when he hit the floor. He had been a romantic. He had enjoyed being a romantic. He had secretly planned to die as a romantic, never completing the cycle of modalities that was supposed to prepare one for full maturity. Only, he wasn't a romantic anymore. Safe in the cocoon of uncertainty that defined FTL flight, he stared at the banks of instruments visible from his command chair and wondered how he'd ever convinced himself this was a good idea. Even his uniform disgusted him.
Sky blue, gold braid, white facings.
He looked around the bridge.
More light blue, more braid. Brightly polished metal in decorative shapes. Did I really think this was practical? Looks theatrical. Not at all workmanlike.
He reached mentally for the mantle. No, the flamboyant swirling cloak of his romantic period. But it was gone.
I can't be Teddy Ransom, pirate hunter. Teddy Ransom, noble, gallant, daring. Who am I now? Theodore, not Teddy.
It sounded stuffy. It felt much less stuffy than it would have even a few hours before. He wondered which intelligence would come to the fore, and if it would be one he could stand. A cool, severe voice rose from his brainstem to point out that he had put himself in harm's way repeatedly, including now, in hopes of impressing a woman who was, when you came down to it, nothing but a merchant's daughter with a perfectly ordinary face. A merchant's daughter with considerable military skill, yes, but far from the glamorous figure he had created in his imagination. And now, here he was, with his ship in FTL flight, not knowing where he was going, when the enemy would drop out into normal space. He had gone blindly, without thinking, assuming she was dead. And she probably was dead, but that was no reason to do what he'd done. 7 days on an uncharted jump. They could be anywhere. They could down-jump into a star, into a planet, into a stupid chunk of rock. He'd been an idiot. He wouldn't be an idiot one moment longer. He called up what navigation charts he had and looked them over, something he hadn't bothered with before. It was impossible to tell where he was, yet in general, the longer a ship was in FTL flight, the farther it went, and there were some accepted correlations.
If Turek's entry vector was this, and if Turek hasn't already made other jumps on other vectors, then they should be somewhere in this area, within 3 to 4 light years. Unfortunately, not one of the safely blank areas, but still. Bajori, prepare for down jump transition.
The entire bridge crew glanced at him.
Time, Captain?
As soon as possible.
Oh, excuse me, but are we giving up the pursuit? Or do we have information?
We're dropping into normal space for navigational purposes.
Again, the curious looks. He'd better do something about that.
I have had an episode.
Now they looked worried.
Brain bend.
They still looked worried.
So, you're not romantic anymore?
Not at the moment, no. And it's not settled yet, but I see no reason to run in blindly.
What about Captain Baskerville, sir?
Damn.
Brain bend had affected his memory temporarily. Des Baskerville, commanding Courageous, was probably speeding on, still in his romantic phase, unless he too had suffered an episode of brain bend. And Des was one of his oldest friends. They'd sworn to stick together forever back in school. But with no way to contact Des while in FTL flight, he couldn't tell Des he was dropping out.
We don't even know if he's still on our trail. A lot can happen in 7 days.
So
we will drop out of FTL, try to get a location, see if anyone's had word with Captain Baskerville, and then, if it seems reasonable, continue the pursuit.
Yes, Captain.
Bajori nodded sharply and turned to his work, while Teddy leaned back in his command seat and tried to figure out what he'd become. Sometimes Brain Bend did simple reversals, from romantic to cynic, for example. But he didn't feel particularly cynical. Not as he understood cynical. He felt almost analytical. The way he imagined Kai Vata thought, weighing options, considering plans of action. Really, even if she was a merchant's daughter from Slaughter Key, she was remarkable if she could think like this. Down jump, when it came a few minutes later, felt normal. But emergence was at high relative V, and scan showed nothing useful in real time. Teddy sweated out the interval before they had slowed, and scan began to show reliable data. Their own down jump had left a noticeable disturbance, the typical concentric ring dimple, sharper for being a high V insertion. Scan picked up no ships at first run, which only meant nothing was nearby now. No accurate position yet, but the uncertainty box was within the segment he'd expected. He felt happier now.
When scan clear, see if there's any trace from someone coming through in FTL.
Unlikely, but any malfunction in the FTL drive might show a temporary effect scan could pick up.
Contact Courageous. Let's see if Des dropped out somewhere. Then give a listen on the Pirates' channel, just in case we pick up one of their general broadcasts. Then we'll call back to Moray.
Admiral, it's Ransom.
Ransom? Kai pulled her attention away from the chapter of Gershaw and Shrillin discussing staff organization and multinational forces. It took a moment to think who Ransom was.
Teddy Ransom?
Yes, he's calling on his shipboard Ansible. Says he has important news. Do you want to talk to him yourself?
Yes. I want to see his face when he finds out I'm alive. Just in case he's playing both sides.
Teddy Ransom looked different. But Kai could not at first define the difference in his slack-jawed astonishment.
You're alive! I thought you were dead. Your ship blew up.
Yes, it did. Care to explain what you thought you were doing?
You were dead, and I wanted revenge. So I followed Turek into FTL.
Just like that?
Mostly. It was a lucky guess, I suppose you'd say. I was monitoring their transmissions, as you know, and heard the order to withdraw. Well, I think that's what it was, but it contained navigational data, blipped computers. I fed it into mine, and...
And didn't come out in a star. Where are you, anyway?
I found them. They're in the same system.
They didn't notice when you popped out of jump next to them?
No. I didn't down jump here. That was days ago. What happened, I had... changed my intelligence. It happens sometimes. Anyway, I thought it too risky to just blindly run wherever they were going, and I still had the data in the computer, so we ran an analysis on that, and then followed very carefully.
That didn't sound like Ransom. Charging headlong had always been more his style than following carefully. Kai pushed that thought aside.
You found them where?
It's not really charted. At least not on my charts. I'll blip you everything we have, course and all.
Good. What do you mean, changed your intelligence? Does it mean you're not a romantic anymore? He hadn't gushed about anything yet.
Exactly. I'm not a romantic. I certainly didn't plan to change. I've no idea what triggered it. But on the seventh day of FTL, it suddenly changed. It was more fun being romantic, but I can't get back to it. So now I'm stuck wherever I am.
You don't know?
No. It can take as long as 60 days, I've been told, for the new intelligence to declare itself, if it is singular. At home, I'd go to a specialist and be sorted out more quickly, but here, I don't know.
How do you feel?
Quite well, thank you. I ran through some evaluative tests, and apparently I'm thinking very well, and have no memory impairments or gaps in reasoning ability. I've instructed my second-in-command to inform me immediately if he sees any disordered thinking, but so far, nothing of the sort.
So what, besides the data you just sent us, can you tell me about Turek's force? What are they doing?
There's significant time lag on their non-Ansible transmissions. They don't use the Ansible much when they're in their base, so what we've got is probably a day or so old. All we know is that they're provisioning their ships, taking on munitions. We did get a transmission from an incoming ship, apparently loaded with munitions.
Send us your recordings, too, and we'll send you the latest translation keys we have. But do you have any idea where they're headed next, or when?
No. They've never said, or we can't understand it.
Can you stay where you are and keep monitoring?
Certainly. Are you going to come here and attack?
It's what, an 8-day transit?
More like 10, if you come in sneakily. And I know they've mined the entrance they use from Moray, but there are no jump points on the chart and no big masses nearby. Anyone could come in other ways.
If we're in FTL, we won't know if they leave, or where they're going, even if you're able to tell us. Do you have any idea what the FTL time is from there to Nexus or Cascadia?
Not really. There are no mapped routes from here to anywhere on my charts. I don't know if they need immediate jump points, and if so, where they might be. But they're definitely gearing up for a major attack, as you expected before Moray.
Kai found it easy now to believe that Ransom had changed in some fundamental way. No flamboyance, no flowery language, no compliments. Not that she missed those. But the kind of sober, rational assessment any good officer might provide. His face even seemed older, less boyish. If he wasn't the romantic hero Ransom anymore, Kai wondered who he was, if he was, for instance, loyal to her, to their cause. If not, he could do them immense harm with that shipboard Ansible.
What about Captain Baskerville? He's with you, I presume.
No, he's not. I have tried to contact him without success. I had no way to tell him I was leaving FTL flight. I would have expected him to drop out by now somewhere, but though we've tried to contact every 4 hours, there's been no word.
I'm sorry. Ransom lifted his hand and let it fall.
We'll keep trying. Now, what do you want me to do? If part of the force leaves, if they all leave...
Contact us first, but also Cascadia Defense. If we're in FTL flight, they can pass the data on to Nexus Defense. If some of them stay, you stay put, so you can report on their movements. If they all depart, and you can't reach me, go directly to...
For a moment, Kai wasn't sure whether she should send him to Cascadia or to Nexus.
Cascadia.
If I stayed here, I would be able to give you current information when you arrived.
That's true. Let me think about this for a few hours. I'll get back to you.
Kai called in her senior staff. Most attended on screen rather than take the time to shuttle to the flagship. She explained what she could about Ransom.
We need to figure out where he is on our charts and then decide how to move next. If we could hit Turek in a base he thinks is secure, even a glancing blow could knock out some of his fleet. Ransom's is the only on-site intel we've got.
Pitt pointed to a set of coordinates.
The latest report from our people says there's been his lingo here. It's just a blip in the stream for most traders. The only reason it was ever colonized was raw materials. It's only a 2-day FTL hop from Gingervin. Miners go over there and break off pieces. Finally, someone installed a station, 3 or 4 space-based processors, and they have a kind of back-of-the-hills trade for anyone who drops in. Rough bunch. Anyway, one of our people knows someone who knows someone, and they reported some odd transmissions.
Wouldn't they want a place with a relay Ansible?
No, they have their own. They don't need relay Ansibles. And if they're in an empty system or between systems far from an Ansible, less chance of being noticed. Did they actually come to this miner's place, Master Sergeant?
Word was somebody made a beer run, Admiral. But it's third hand.
I can't see Turek letting any of his people wander off just to find liquor. Surely he'd have his own setup if he allowed it.
It's a way to find out what rumors are floating around. Hang out in a bar and listen. The same way the Mackenzie informant did.
Well, we can't sit here waiting forever. We're stuffed with supplies. We've done the run-in tests. We could always use more training, but I don't expect Turek to wait for us to move, and we dare not wait for him. At the least, we need to be closer to his likely targets, and this is in the right direction.
From the sudden alertness in the room, Kai was sure that the others agreed.
Orders, Admiral?
Make up formations. Just what we've talked about. We'll head for the jump point, use the same vector as Ransom, 7 standard days in FTL, drop out and contact him. Maybe we'll get a better fix on location before we jump, but we have more extensive charts to use when we get there, even if not. Captain Yamini, I want you to be advanced scout. Precede formations to the jump point, extend your FTL to 7.25 standard days, and come in dead slow.
Yes, ma'am.
Yamini blanked his screen. Any questions?
Fine. I estimate we're 20 or more hours before the fleet's in formation on the right vector to the jump point. I'll have more detailed orders for down jump by 2 hours prior, so you can pass them to your formations. Let's go.
Kai set to work drafting orders to cover the possibilities she recognized. Turek's force within firing distance. Turek's force light hours or days away. Mines in the down jump destination. Everything she could think of. The same basic 5 or 6 formation assignments covered them all, thanks to the work she and her staff had done in the past 10-day. Shields up, weapons hot. Passive scans only on down jump. She handed the draft orders to Pitt and Stanley, a Moray officer.
Here. Nitpick. What did I forget?
What about micro-jumping the forward formations out 2 minutes? Your spacing's 5, right? That gives some margin of error.
With this many ships, and less training time than she'd have liked, best leave more room for the inevitable errors.
Good point. But into a pincer formation gives us more options, whatever we find.
Admiral Vada, we have a location.
The navigation officer was grinning. With a touch, he highlighted a region.
It's on a mapped route, but not a green one. It's yellow due to flux disturbances near a pulsar here. In fact, there are map jump points all through this area, but no green routes. An open cluster here, a pulsar there, really more trouble to commercial vessels than ours, but it's a wonder Captain Ransom didn't run into something. Turek's force is here. Map jump point PRTB-1512 in the current Pritchard Robarts Atlas.
Kai transmitted the navigation data and her orders to the rest of the fleet and watched as the ships edged into formation. Squadrons, combining the new heavy cruisers from Moray, the Cascadian and Moray warships, the privateers, the support ships, supply, minesweepers, all moving to her plan. It had better be the right plan. The wraiths of her dead rose around her for a moment, reminding her of mistakes made, deaths she had not prevented, and then her implant intervened. She would do her best. She had taken the best advice she could get. What happened would happen. Kai left her office and began a walk through the ship after notifying her flag captain. Hugh would have known her routine, known she walked the ship daily, and they had their understanding of his limits and hers. This new vanguard had become more familiar with every passing day, but it was not the old vanguard, and Captain McKay was not Hugh. Its crew was a mix of Slaughter Key, Moray, and Cascadia citizens, all new to her. She had them all in her implant now, knew the cooks in the galley, a space as large as the largest crew compartment had been in the old vanguard, and the moles in environmental, as well as the weapons crews and the engineers. The ship smelled right. Its original sharp odor from outgassing of new synthetics, now mellowed by filters and hydroponics. Chemical sensors along the bulkheads checked constantly for toxic vapors, but Kai knew the human nose made a good early warning for some things. The ship sounded right, too. The barely heard vibrations were those of good adjustment. Nothing was phasing in and out. The voices in compartments she passed had the right timbre, even if the accents were different. Crews were excited, eager, but not anxious. The day before, she had walked the port side first. Today, she started at the starboard bow. This vanguard mounted multiple beams along the long axis. The massive supports and heat-radiating structures crowded the center of the ship on the weapons deck, narrowing both lateral passages. Kai reached out and ran a finger along the red stripe, the red Turek had ordered, and which she had not bothered to change. The deck gleamed under the overhead light bars. The bulkhead itself, matte finished except for the stripe, curved gently toward the bow. At the starboard forward missile battery, Kai looked in. Chief McIntosh of Moray was drilling a team on fusing options. One of them spotted her and leapt to his feet.
Admiral on deck.
At ease. Despite the obvious advantages to having uniforms that were uniform, only the officers had acquired Space Defense Force uniforms. Chief McIntosh, in a dark tan shirt and slacks tucked into brown ship boots, had a tartan armband with four black stripes angling across it. The team he was drilling included two in Moscow Confederation green and three in Slaughter Key blue.
So, Chief, how's it going?
Fine, ma'am. Crews are meshing well. Never thought I'd get to serve on a ship like this, you know.
Nor I. I thought Slaughter Key cruisers were big back when I was in the academy, but this thing's twice that size at least. I can spend more than a shift going from compartment to compartment and not see them all.
That's right, ma'am. We're one of the few places that can build in this size.
Well, carry on, Chief. I better keep moving. Admirals are supposed to spread their interruptions around.
Kai moved aft, pausing in each of the weapons bays to speak to its crews, all busy with something. Stella Vata pored over the financial data Kai had sent. She had, in fact, sold the Ansibles to Teddy Ransom for the sum Stella had suggested. But she had given others away. There was the amount owed to Crown and Spears on Gretna, already taken care of. But the purchase of indentured servants was illegal here in the Moscow Confederation. Traffic in humans was illegal most places. And she didn't think they'd understand that it had been the only way to save those people from a worse fate. She wondered if any of them were still with Kai. If they were, they could testify if necessary. It would help if she could talk to Kai, not have to pass everything through her staff. She was family. Family should always have access to family.
Aunt Stella?
Zori had come to call Stella Aunt only in the past few days. Though she now lived with her mother, she showed up at Stella's at least once a day, trailed by her escort. The girl might not be family yet, but Stella now believed it was likely to happen.
Yes, Zori.
I just heard something. It may only be a rumor, I don't know, but this boy at school said something about your cousin Kai, the admiral?
What?
That she died. Her ship blew up.
What? No, of course she didn't. I've had messages from her.
Zori slumped against the desk.
Oh, that's a relief. Oh, I didn't really think Jed knew what he was talking about, but he said he heard it from a man who heard it dockside.
Kai hadn't actually contacted Stella personally. Of course, that meant nothing. She was busy. She had a fleet to organize, enemies to watch out for. Still, she must be alive. Someone would have told Stella if she wasn't. Someone would have known. Someone would have made contact, surely. Still, it wouldn't hurt to check, just to be sure. And if a rumor was going around that Kai had been killed, that might impact morale. She should let Grace know. With that thought in mind, Stella placed an Ansible call to Moray and waited longer than usual for the icon to resolve into someone's face. Not Kai's face, but then she had staff. Stella tried to ignore the knot in her stomach. The uniform was unfamiliar as well.
Admiral Vada, please. From Stella Vada.
I'm sorry, the Admiral is not available.
Would you give her a message to contact me directly as soon as possible?
I will transfer your call to a more senior officer. Just a moment.
Stella's anxiety grew. Kai had just finished taking Teddy Ransom's latest hourly report when Evelyn walked in.
It's your cousin. She wants to talk to you. She's on a secured line, but...
She can't know I'm alive. Stella wouldn't leak it, but there's too much chance with Toby and Zori there. And Zori's father having been one of them...
She'll be upset.
My concern is defeating Turek. We have only a slim chance of doing that anyway. I'm not going to give it away to comfort Stella. Tell her my ship blew up.
Yes, Admiral.
The senior officer in Moray uniform who had appeared on screen was an older man.
Saravada, I realize this may come as a shock. I'm sorry, it is necessary to...
What?
When Admiral Vada arrived here, we were under attack by the force we'd been warned of. In the battle that followed, her forces joined with our own defenses and drove the enemy away, albeit with losses. Admiral Vada's ship blew up while in pursuit of the enemy.
Her ship? But she was in a special unit. She should have survived.
I'm sorry.
Who's commanding Slaughter Key forces now? And the Coalition? Has the Moscow Confederation government been informed?
All relevant governments have been informed. Clearly the alliance is still necessary. I believe Slaughter Key is sending someone out to take command of their ships, and the overall Coalition commander will be decided very soon. More than that, I cannot say.
Stella felt numb, but knew that pain would follow.
Were there any... Was anything... recovered?
No, I'm sorry. The aftermath of a battle in space is not, I wish I could offer some comfort.
Comfort? I'm sorry. I have to go. Wait. The government here hasn't made any announcements, so if they know, perhaps I shouldn't say anything?
I believe the decision was made not to publicize Admiral Vada's passing. In order not to disturb the public, you might want to speak to Goran Saviera in the Moscow Confederation Department of Defense.
Saviera? What's he?
An undersecretary for propaganda, I believe. And Sarah, if anything is recovered, you will certainly be informed.
Thank you.
After she'd disconnected, Stella sat motionless, waiting for the grief to strike. She could sense its approach, a giant block of misery. All the things she'd said she could not now take back or explain away. All the words unsaid that could not now be said. That first stab of anger at the Moray officer gave her energy. She looked up Saviera and placed a call to his office.
Saravada, how may I help you?
You can tell me if it's true that my cousin Kai is dead and you're hiding that fact.
Sarah, where did you hear that?
The young woman I'm taking care of. Zori Luari heard it from a schoolmate who heard it from someone who works dockside. She didn't believe it, and neither did I until I tried to contact Kai myself. And an officer of the Moray Defense Services told me her ship had blown up.
I'm sorry you found out this way.
So it's true?
Well, according to the report we got, her ship was in hot pursuit of the enemy, possibly the enemy flagship, and suddenly exploded. I haven't heard anything more about the exact cause, if it can be determined. There have been other priorities. As I'm sure you're aware, the ship had some deficiencies that went uncorrected.
Yes, but she was supposed to be in that secure modular thing.
CCC, yes.
That was installed here. I thought it was proof against anything.
Nothing's proof against everything. It's certainly a tragedy. And to answer your second question, it's true. We've not publicized her death, and I hope to persuade you not to. The thing is, so many people were impressed by her, were afraid her death would be a serious blow to morale. And if the enemy doesn't know she's dead, perhaps it will delay their next attack.
I see. So, you don't want me to tell even the family?
Well, that's a difficult decision, Sarah. I do understand the desire to have family support at a time like this, but if word got out, and that reminds me, can you tell me more about how you found out?
Stella recited it again. Zori, the classmate, the unknown spacer dockside.
We need to plug that hole. I don't want to bother the young lady. She's had enough problems. Do you think you could get the name of that classmate from her and let me know?
It was Jed something. I could try, but I don't know if I can keep the truth from her. I'm...
Upset, of course. You've suffered a terrible loss, on top of all the others your family has had to endure. I'll check the school registry first.
Stella closed that connection and wondered what to do now. If Slaughter Key's government knew, then surely Grace knew and hadn't told her. But if they both knew, surely they could talk. She looked at the time where Grace was. 3 in the morning. Grace might be up, but she wouldn't appreciate a call in the middle of the night. For just an instant, she thought of calling Rafe. But that would not do, even if he also knew. Stella tried to bury herself in the accounts, but she kept seeing Kai in everything Kai had touched. Images of the sturdy, stubborn little girl, the sulky teenager, the wary adult. All ran into one another and kept her mind from focusing on the figures. Another one of the family gone, every childhood playmate gone. She would not cry. She would not. But in spite of herself, tears rolled down her cheeks. MacRobert handed Grace the padded grip of the exercise apparatus. She wrapped her small hand around it slowly, careful not to stretch the flexible sleeve that still protected it as it grew.
So Kai isn't telling Stella she survived the explosion? It's tough on Stella. You told Helen.
Grace moved her arm back and forth in the range of motion exercises.
Helen's not in the middle of a crowded space station, the sole licensee for a technology vital to the war, with 2 intelligent and no doubt naively nosy adolescents living with her. I can trust Helen not to leak it to anyone, and the children are too little. Nobody's going to listen to them, even if they do insist their cousin Kai is alive.
Stella's going to be furious when she finds out, with you as well.
Not when she's going to get the CEO ship. If we can get Maxim out before he does something else stupid.
Do you still think he might be a Termanian plant in support of Parmina?
I'd like to think it, but no. Nobody else in the family has done anything suspicious, and he hasn't been off-planet. Yes, he's got the right genes to be an intended problem, but I think it's coincidence. We've looked, you and I both, and we've uncovered everything else.
They had found Turek's agents in the local mafia, and located the portable Ansible they'd used to keep in touch with Turek. Even deep interrogation hadn't produced any links to Maxim.
He's just young, in love, and full of innate stubbornness.
Hey, keep that shoulder level. You're compensating with the tilt.
Grace tightened her grip on the handle.
I wish this thing would grow faster.
It took you 15 years to grow the first one. This one's growing pretty damn fast. Now remember, shoulders level, breathe with it.
How angry do you think Stella will be?
Well, you know her better, but from what she told you about that trip with Kai, she really resented being kept literally in the dark. If I were you, I wouldn't let Stella get the idea you and Kai had a special bond.
We don't!
You know Kai's alive. Helen knows Kai's alive. That's all the family. Stella, your protege, is the only one who doesn't. And she's just made up with Helen, forgiving her for not telling about the adoption. Another secret she's locked out of? Oh, I think it's explosive.
But Kai's reasons...
make perfect sense from the military point of view. It's not one Stella's ever been really sympathetic to now, is it? There's Vada sense and military sense, and you're the only person who can make them overlap.
Grace unclasped her hand from the handle and flexed the fingers. The arm ached now, instead of itching as it had earlier. It had skin and muscles, and it moved, within its covering, almost without thought. Fine motor was still a problem, but she was sure once she got rid of the protective covering, it would come quickly.
How could I do it without Toby finding out? And why would she accept it from me?
You're her mentor. You're senior in the family. You're the rector of defense. Hell, all those together. You can tell her it was essential for Kai herself to make no contact with anyone, anywhere. That you were the only one who could do it safely.
That might work.
Grace stretched the young arm forward, measuring it against her old one. The tips of her left fingers touched the base of her right palm.
Ha! Look at that! Not long now.
MacRobert took her hands, both of them.
You're right, Anders. That should work. Kai wanted to tell her, but didn't dare get on herself. She wanted me to tell her. I could call her.
Before she calls you, yes.
When the slaughter key origination code came up, Stella wasn't surprised. Aunt Grace, of course. Probably Seviera had told her that Stella knew.
Aunt Grace.
How secure is your end?
Best I can make it.
And you're alone?
Yes. Look, I already know.
No, you don't. You have a privacy shield in your office, I'm sure.
Yes, but...
Engage it.
Stella took the cylinder out of her desk and laid it where the video pickup would include it, then touched the nub on one side.
Engaged.
No one must know what I'm telling you. Not Toby, not Zori, not anyone, including that twit in the propaganda department.
I know it's a secret.
But you don't know what secret.
Kai...
Kai is alive.
She... But they said...
Kai is alive. She could not tell you. She can't communicate outside the system she's in without risking the enemy finding out she's alive.
But I thought it was her death that was supposed to be a secret.
It's a double cover, Stella. We seem to be hiding the fact that she's dead, but we're actually hiding the fact she's alive.
But her ship...
did blow up. She was nearly killed, injured, but not too seriously. Only being in the CCC saved her. And the enemy thinks she's dead, which we think, we hope, will give her a slight advantage in the coming battle.
The coming battle?
Stella, I can't even tell you more than that. Most of the enemy got away. They fled shortly after she arrived. Here's the thing. Because outbound communication from Moray via the system Ansible is limited to official transmissions, we know that rumors of her death must be coming from the enemy, and we're using that to trace his agents.
Zori heard it from a schoolmate who heard it from someone who works on the docks.
Yes, which means Turek has at least one agent on Cascadia they haven't found. Thing is, you and Toby are still in danger. You must play ignorant, just as you did on your first assignments. Report rumors, of course, but if the Moscow government chooses to announce Kai's death, just be the grieving cousin.
I can do that. I was grieving.
Of course you were. Please understand, Kai could not risk talking to you herself, and it took a while for the message to get to me.
I feel like I've been yanked around. I understand why, but...
You have been. Anyone would feel that way. You've been under a lot of stress on other fronts, too. And you've done brilliantly with the company business. I always knew you had what it takes to run the trading side. But I didn't anticipate either the need or the ability to manage a manufacturing startup the way you have. To learn your only surviving cousin was dead, and now that she's alive, I'm sure it's been a shock.
Grief had receded, but it didn't feel like joy. Not yet. At least it was no longer pain.
So, what's my assignment?
You don't believe Kai is dead, in spite of any rumors that show up. If the Moscow government decides to admit she's dead, you are shocked and grieving, almost refusing to believe it.
What about other... does Nexus know the truth?
No. They refused to join the Alliance, you recall. They're out of the loop. I don't know whether they think she's dead or not. Depends on whether they queried Moray for any reason. They did know the fleet was headed there.
Will Kai come swooping out of nowhere like the Deus Ex Machina in those old plays?
We hope so. But I must tell you, Stella, that the odds aren't good. Turek got away with almost half the ships ready at Moray. His fleet's larger than Kai's, and more of it is real warships. That's why it is critical that Turek continue to think she's dead.
We could be attacked here, at Cascadia.
Yes, but we expect him to hit Nexus.
That was nowhere near as comforting as Grace probably meant it to be. But Kai was alive. At least, had been alive the last time Grace had word of her.
I hope you understand why Kai didn't...
Yes. I'm glad you told me, though. If I'd thought she was just leaving me in the dark again the way she did before, I'd have been furious. We're partners. Well, maybe not exactly, but she's family. The closest I have in my own generation. She's got to trust me.
Kai was just heading for the personnel lifts on the environmental level when the doors slid open and Master Sergeant Pitt appeared.
Thought you might be on this deck. Message from Slaughter Key on the CCC Ansible.
Kai's stomach clenched. She followed Pitt into the lift tube and pressed the control. This Vanguard had a CCC designed into it from scratch, larger than the other one, and centrally located on the command deck. Unsealed as it was now, it looked like a simple mirror of the bridge forward. The 3D tank display, the curving double row of control stations, the command chair and its gimbals. The communications tech at the Ansible station stood up and saluted.
Urgent request to speak directly to the Admiral, ma'am. Sorry, it's from the Rector of Defense. I thought I should pass it on.
Quite right. Kai sat in the station's chair instead of the command seat, engaged the privacy screen, and tapped the code she and Grace had agreed on into the board. Grace's face came up at once.
You're on your way, then.
How'd you know that?
Your face. You've got that look. I've got a large packet of data to send you, and no, I didn't need to bother you personally for that. But I had to tell Stella you were alive, and you need to know that. You were right. Turek's agents are spreading the tale of your death, and it was going to interfere with Stella's work and with family. Also, I need your voice-printed authorization for her to vote your shares, or me or Helen. We have a situation here at Varta headquarters. Young Maxim, who's acting CEO here, is also an Osman bastard, adopted by the Turmanian family. The same family as one of the ISC board members backing Palmina.
He's a traitor?
I don't think so. Not that I can prove, anyway. But he's a scientist, not a businessman, and he's making mistakes Stella wouldn't make. He's being stubborn about turning things over to Stella and going back to his lab. McRobert thinks it's because of an office romance, not anything more sinister. We need to get him out and someone else in locally to manage while Stella's on Cascadia.
Makes sense. And you need my shares to vote?
Yes. Your parents had filed their wills, and you're the remaining heir, so you've actually got a very large interest. However, the bylaws state that any vote of shares more than 5% must be voice printed.
That's going to reveal I'm alive.
No, we don't have to reveal the timestamp, for one thing. Only the voice print compared with your reference voice, which I have. And we can backdate it. You could have done the voice print before you left Cascadia.
Kai had her doubts, but though the business was important, other things were more urgent.
Just tell me what to do and I'll do it.
Read this aloud. You can change Stella to Grace or Helen if you want to.
Grace held up a sheet of paper, stating that Kailara Evangeline Vata authorized my close relative Stella Maria Vata, presently residing on Cascadia Station, to vote her shares in the next election of Vata's officers, and stating her preference for Stella Maria Vata as overall CEO. Kai read it aloud, then pressed both hands flat against the plate beside the screen. That would transmit her handprints and further verify that she was who she claimed to be. Grace held up her left arm.
Look! It's almost grown! Soon I'll be out of the wraps.
It looked grotesque to Kai. The wrong size, the wrong color, a child's arm stuck on an old woman's body. But that was not something she could say.
Kai, what I really want to ask, it's... You've been through a lot. Lost a lot of friends. I know what that can be like.
Aunt Grace, it's all right. I went into treatment at Moray. They have a rapid-cycle post-trauma treatment for military personnel.
You sure it did the job?
Well, we'll find out, won't we? But I think so. They took my implant, stripped a lot of stuff out of it into external storage, soaked me in one set of neurochemicals after another, dragged me through talk sessions, recalibrated the implant's control functions, and told me I can't put the externally stored things back in for at least a year.
Oh my, I'm sorry, Kai. That's my fault. I didn't think to run a check on your father's implant. It had all his recordings of that day, didn't it?
Yes.
That was so chaotic. I should have. But I had to get Stella away safely. I knew you needed his command set, and so much was happening, I just didn't think of that.
It's all right. I'm fine now.
It makes me wonder if I am. My brain, I mean.
Kai had never seen Grace as anything but the indomitable old lady with no doubts at all that she was perfectly right in all circumstances. She wasn't sure she wanted an Aunt Grace with vulnerability.
It's all right now.
Oh, I know that. But even an old bat can express regret for a mistake. Your job is to say, "Thank you, Aunt Grace. I'm fine now, Aunt Grace. And goodbye, Aunt Grace."
"Thank you, Aunt Grace. I'm fine now. Goodbye and take care. I hope to get back to Slaughter Key and see you in person again."
"Do that. But not before you've dealt with that so-and-so."
Rafe stared down at ISC's front entrance. Police cars and news vans gathered at the base of the building. Helicopters hovered around trying to get pictures through the windows. Not that they could.
"This is a mess. We have a real threat that might wipe out the whole system in another 10 days or so. And instead of dealing with that, they want my head for something I didn't do."
"Would it be better to be a murderer?"
"I was, according to some."
The news notes had painted him as the blackest villain, vicious from childhood, since only a truly vicious child could have killed 2 trained adults. Unrepentant after years in a reformatory, exiled from home for years. Supposedly, given a nasty emphasis by the talking heads, returned to help his family escape from abductors. But there was no proof that he had not been colluding with Parmina all along.
"Are you sure it was poison, and administered by someone else?"
"So they say. Some metabolic thing to mimic a heart attack. Could be absorbed through the skin. I didn't touch the man. I didn't hand him anything. There should be surveillance tapes proving that, but they claim the tapes are fogged. I can't prove they aren't."
"Do you think Isaacs was one of Turek's agents?"
"No. I think he was lazy, greedy, and perfectly willing to take money from Parmina to ignore ISC's deficiencies. Corrupt, but not a traitor."
"Didn't you tell me the Turek's agents, or some of them, had an implanted suicide code of some kind? When you were with that Vada woman, didn't someone die?"
"Yes, but he was a low-level crook. Someone's henchman in a criminal gang. Under interrogation, he started to say Turek's name, and that released the poison. A metabolic decoupler. It was faster, I think. And Isaacs wasn't trying to say anything like that."
"Did you see anyone hand him anything? Did he pick up anything on his desk?"
"When I was let in, Melendi and a secretary came in too. The secretary put a packet of data cubes on his desk. Nothing was passed hand to hand. Isaacs didn't... Well, he did. He started fidgeting, picking things on his desk up and laying them down. A letter opener. He opened a folder, fumbled with several of the data cubes, just running them through his fingers as he talked. I was reading that as agitation about our conversation."
"It probably was, but it suggests how a contact poison might have gotten to him."
"But the secretary must have put those cubes into the folder."
"So maybe the secretary's the murderer. Or maybe Isaacs knew they were poisoned and chose that method of suicide. Cast suspicion on you even as he died. Or someone else gave the packet to the secretary. I wonder if anyone's tested those things, or if they've been lost, perhaps by intention."
"I suppose I should tell them that."
"Yeah, but the question is how. I want you leaving this place. Once they have the proven bad boy in custody, they aren't likely to listen. And like you said, there are far more serious things to worry about than a dead Secretary of Defense. You need them to listen. And by the way, which of your armchair admirals are you going to nominate to run the defense? Or do you think you can do it?"
"Jamie Driscoll's done the best so far. His ships were in better shape overall than anyone else's, despite the budget cuts, and he responded quickly to my original suggestions. I have no idea how competent he is as a combat commander, though."
"If you could get an experienced Merc commander to talk to him?"
"That would help, certainly. But that all depends on the government agreeing to do something, not just scream at me."
"Where's Driscoll now?"
"On his way here, with the best ships he has. I've also ordered the best of the other ISC units here. They should arrive in system in 4 or 5 days.
Penny came into the office. She nodded politely to Gary.
"Rafe, what's going on? And don't try telling me it's nothing for me to worry about when there are flashing lights, helicopters, and people switch off their screens and look away when I ask them."
"You're going to have to stay here at least overnight, Penny."
"Answer my question."
Rafe looked at her. She had changed a lot in the past half year. No longer the frightened waif he'd rescued from abductors, or the grieving, depressed widow. But what he saw now surprised him. She looked completely adult. completely competent and completely determined to have her way. Like Stella, in fact, or Kai. He had never imagined her that way, as other than his little sister.
When your party was interrupted last night, it was to tell me that Turek's fleet had attacked a military shipyard at Moray, a system about 20 days FTL flight from here. The Moscow Slaughter Key Allied fleet drove them off, but Admiral Vada was killed.
You didn't tell me!
No. I didn't want to spoil your evening, and I couldn't talk about it then anyway. I was also warned that the Moray government believes Nexus will be Turek's next target. This morning, I had to meet with the Secretary of Defense. You know that I previously warned him about the deficiencies in ISC's fleet, that we did not have the ships or weapons to defend the system. We were discussing options. He said the government wanted ISC to hire and pay for mercs to do the job we weren't doing, when he suddenly collapsed and subsequently died.
Rafe paused, not sure how to say the next bit. Penny was looking out the window, then her eyes widened and she turned to him.
Rafe, do they think you killed him? Did something to him? Is that why?
Apparently he died of poison. And yes, they think I did it. That's why the media is starting to paint me as the permanent blackest sheep in Nexus history. You might as well know. They're even suggesting that I was involved with Parmina in your abduction and staged the whole thing just to gain power, killing Parmina to hide the evidence.
That's ridiculous!
It would be if there weren't all those official cars out there. Thank any god you care to that ISC territory is officially not Nexus territory, or they'd have special security teams running down the corridors and I'd be dead in minutes.
You're not giving up.
Not giving up, but not sure what to do either. I could tell them that they should be looking for contact poison on the data cubes Isaacs was fiddling with, but they won't believe me. They say the surveillance tapes from his office are fogged, and they think I did that too. So even if they found and tested the cubes, and the poison was still there, they'd think I put it on them. And I have messages from a majority of the board who want an emergency meeting. The only reason they're not having one is that all that mess outside won't let them in. Another lucky break is that our charter specifies all binding board votes must be taken on ISC territory.
What about Ser Box?
Ser Box is highly annoyed with me. I'm not sure he'd vote against me, but he's not helping. And Emil's father has already suggested that my resignation might be a good idea.
You wouldn't do that, would you?
Not planning to.
Rafe wished that some miraculous storybook hero would come sailing in, take over, and tell him he could go back to a life that involved nothing more dangerous than the occasional assassination attempt. But that wouldn't happen.
For one thing, who would succeed me? Nobody, including Vaclav on the board, is really capable of doing what we need now. I can see it, but so far I haven't gotten it across to them.
Well, I understand it, and not just because I'm your sister. All that digging into the records you asked for, and the courses I've been taking...
You're taking courses?
My therapist suggested it, a way to keep busy in the evenings. And really, it's fascinating, the way everything fits together. Dad never talked about business at home, and Mother was always talking music. She didn't want him to talk business. Jared just assumed I wouldn't be interested, I think. We had other interests. We talked by the hour, but not about the company, so I never knew.
Rafe could hardly believe this was the same Penny. Not just from last fall and the rescue, but the same Penny he'd known all his life. Or not known, he realized. Now, eyes alight, voice eager, she looked like someone who had found the right place to be.
So you see yourself staying with ISC?
Unless you fire me. I know you meant it to be just a temporary thing, Rafe. A way to get me out of that horrible house. But really, I want to stay here. In fact, someday I may challenge you for that corner office.
Penny as CEO was something Rafe had never imagined.
Not yet, of course. I need more education, I need more experience. Not to mention age, because the board certainly wouldn't accept me now. They probably think of me as you do, just Rafe's little sister, poor thing. But I can see, just as you can, what needs to be done to keep us afloat. More than afloat, in fact.
Both Gary and Emil looked as startled as he felt. Rafe tried to think of the right thing to say and found nothing coherent.
I guess I needed a good smack on the head where you were concerned. You just delivered it.
I didn't mean to hurt you.
No, I'm not hurt. Surprised, startled, amazed, all of those. But if you do aspire to the corner office someday, do you have any suggestions for how to handle this?
A wave of the hand toward the windows and the mess outside.
Actually, I do. But you're not gonna like it.
What then?
I'll talk to them. They'll be sure I'm the little sister dazzled by your handsome face and slick manner. But remember that I'm the one who found the skeletons in the financial closets.
You wouldn't.
Of course I would. Isaacs is dead. Can't hurt him to explain why he might have committed suicide. Once they have something more juicy than old lies about you, and I will certainly be asking where they got that information, since it must have been passed on by someone other than Parmina, the pressure should come off. Besides, I'll look good on camera. Just you wait and see.
I don't think it's wise.
The grin Penny gave him then might have come out of his own mirror in those days when he still led the life of a rogue.
I am of age, Rafe. And it's my decision. Watch me, big brother.
Penny swept out. Amel's jaw had dropped. Gary merely looked rueful.
I am beginning to think you have a very strange effect on her. That young woman had victim written all over her last fall. And now she's gone the way of your... Sorry, I forgot she...
Misery landed on Rafe. A thick, suffocating weight.
Died. And now Penny.
Won't. Stay here. I'll be back.
And Gary was gone. No doubt to provide coverage for Penny, back and front and side.
Food. I'll order some in. You're looking pale.
I'm looking dumbfounded.
Misery receded a centimeter. Amel showing more initiative. Penny turning into... whatever she was turning into. Something extraordinary. Perhaps he, Rafe, wasn't that bad an influence.